You can understand why God would use angels as messengers. They are faster than FedEx. They are clearer than Instagram and flashier than an electronic billboard. So when we hear in the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles that there were these two white-robed figures there on the Mount of Olives with the 11 disciples, we know, we understand that this obviously is an important message from God. But there's a problem with angels as messengers as well, because they are angels, which is to say, they're not human beings. So they don't understand that things which to them are just facts carry a lot of emotional weight. You know, just think about the angel visiting St. Joseph, right? The angel visits St. Joseph. Joe, you know, your fiance, Mary, she's pregnant, but it's okay. It's by the Holy Spirit. Could you run that by me again? Or the women came to the tomb, the angel's there, and said, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. Don't look for the living among the dead. What was that? You see, angels don't understand how some things which are just facts are really tremendously moving in our hearts, and we don't know exactly what to do with them. And maybe that helps us to understand this scene where those angels say to those 11 today, why are you standing staring up at the sky? You see, they don't get what those 11 disciples, apostles, friends of Jesus were going through. Their Lord, their Master, the one that they thought they had lost but had found again, the one who was the source of their hope and joy, was leaving them. Of course, they're filled with a sense of loss and grief. The angel says, but he's coming back again. He's going to return. That doesn't help the feelings to know that. It doesn't help. And so those angels just don't get who we are. Now, we don't have any angelic visitors here today, but I think we can understand what those 11 disciples went through, because similar things happen in our own lives. We are all people of faith. That's why we're gathered here today. We're people of faith. We have confidence in the grace and mercy of God calling us up to glory to join Jesus in that heavenly throne. But, you know, it's Mother's Day, and I miss my mother. All of us, I think, whose mothers have gone before us can understand that, yes, I'm confident she's in glory, but it's still a hole in your soul when your mother isn't there. And to flip it over, mothers are always mothers, you know. I remember my mother asking me when I was 50 years old, did I brush my teeth? She was always my mother. See, angels don't understand what mothers know. And our whole emotional life is filled with things like that. You know, the angels in the Bible always come up and they say, well, do not be afraid. Angels don't live in Chicago, I can tell you that. Do not be afraid. Well, what are you talking about? You know, there's a lot of things to fear. I'm fearing what happens if I get sick. I'm fearing if my last marble goes, you know. I'm fearing just taking a walk down the street. Do not be afraid. Angels are, they're aloof. They're above it all, you know. They don't understand that sometimes you feel upset and angry at somebody's insult or the cruelty that you experience, or just the sheer hell that people give to one another. Angels always seem to come in choruses or choirs. They don't know what it's like to feel alone and isolated and abandoned. Angels just don't get what it's like to be a human being. But Jesus does. Jesus does. Jesus knew what those apostles were going through, and he knows what we go through because he went through the exact same things. Jesus is like us in all things but sin, according to the Bible. And so we can see how our Lord, understanding that those feelings that his apostles, his disciples, his friends were going to have, worked with them and tried to get them ready for that experience of loss, that experience of grief. You know, he told them, well, I'm not going to be with you for a little while, but then I will be with you for a little while. I'm going ahead of you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You won't understand, but I'm going to have to suffer, and then I'll return in 3 days. And I get the impression when you read the Bible that they didn't get it at the time, but I suspect that as they reflected on it later, they said, oh, that's what he was talking about. That's what he was doing. He was getting them ready for this experience that they were going to go through, this experience of loss. And so today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have that one last little word, you know, as you're going out the door, you grab the handle and go, oh, one more thing. And that's what Jesus is doing today. He's giving one more thing. Just one more thing before I go. You will receive power. That's what he says. This is his legacy, his last will and testament. You will receive power. Power to do what? Power to confront that grief and loss that's part of our life. Because our God never fails. And to those who love God, all things work together for good. Power to deal with that fear which can paralyze us at times. We have a mighty God that we serve. And he can transform death into life and make Good Friday become Easter Sunday. Power that enables us to face that helplessness that can enrage us at times because we know we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Power even to face that lonely spot in our hearts because Jesus says, you are my friends. You're my friends. We are given this gift of God's power from Jesus so that we can trust that we can do all things with him. But that legacy, that gift, that bequest, and Jesus' last will and testament has a rider to it, has a string along with it. Did you notice? You will receive power, and because of this power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and yes, to the ends of the earth. So this power that we are given by God is not for ourselves. It's so that we can be witnesses. Our divine power that we have as believers is not like our own little teddy bear that we can clutch to our bosom and console ourselves as we sit in our evening chair. No, this power is given for a purpose so that we can be witnesses. And since we have it, we can trust that we can do it. That's what Jesus says. We can do it. We witness to the presence and the action of God in our lives every time we offer consolation to someone who's bereaved, hope to the hopeless, companionship to the abandoned. We witness to the grace and power of God whenever we work to overcome those differences and divisions which seem to plague our society. We witness to what God is doing in our life when we utilize our gifts and talents to build up the body of Christ. So I think when the angels were saying to those 11, "Why are you staring up to the sky?" they weren't asking so much, "Do you miss Jesus?" but "Why are you staring up to the sky when you've got work to do? You have to go out there. You have to witness. Don't go looking at the past. Fulfill your destiny. You have the power to do it. You can witness to what Jesus has done in your life. You can witness to the ability of God to transform this messed up world. You can witness that in faith, all will be well. All manner of things will be well." Amen.